So let's introduce Steve. Let's give him a warm welcome. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you so much. It really is a great joy to close off tonight. I wasn't expecting it, I must be honest, but I'm sure you weren't expecting to be packing up at lunchtime. And when we come to the scripture, I've got to try and be quite serious, but I think we're going to laugh our way through the reading by the text that God has given me for this final session, which was meant to be tomorrow morning, but God knew all things, He knows all things, and so it's quite wonderful as we look ahead. 20 years ago, Heather and I and three young boys left Cape Town in South Africa for the central parts of South Africa, right in the heart of the country, and we planted Dihlabeng, Karekia Dihlabeng, church in the mountaintops. And on that first Sunday, we had an offering of 256 rand, if my memory serves me right. At the moment, that's just over 10 pounds. And we celebrated like we celebrated tonight, because over the platform were these beautiful words from Scripture, ever-increasing glory. Because God had put something in our hearts, even though we were in the middle of nowhere, poverty was just a way of life that was so in our face every day. We believed we were carrying something, a little mustard seed that would go on to fill the whole garden. And it's very hard for me to express my heart tonight and all that's going on inside over these days. And then to see that offering come up when we got to 77,000, I was done and dusted. I thought, Lord, you're just amazing. And then I looked up and I saw another number there. And I just want to say thank you very much on behalf of Ray, myself, Trevor, Gary, and our growing team. I want to thank you for your trust in us and for believing the vision that God's given us. And I know the nations will be glad as we press ahead. I'm not quite sure when Regions Beyond was born, and as I said last night, I never want this to be about a growing movement. I want this to be about us reaching the lost, binding up the brokenhearted, changing nations, transforming cities. But yes, we do it under the banner of Regions Beyond, but always want it to be about people. But one thing I know is that God's beginning to give us some real distinctives as a people. We're starting to see things grow in us and be expressed in us that I've not seen before. And I've been involved in various forms of church movements for some 24 years now. But I feel there's some really key things growing in us and manifesting among us. I love our heart for multi-generational expression, that we want to see everyone mobilized, not just a few. I love our heart that we want to see an apostolic people group, not a few leaders being sent around the world to go do things and report back, but a whole movement of churches, people from the front row to the back row in every church, feeling they're on a mission, knowing they can play their part with what God has put in their hand. A real deep reliance on relationships, which I'll touch on as I come to Scripture a little later. Multiplied leadership. Multiplied leadership. I believe it's the answer to reaching the ends of the earth. If we can continue to raise up and invest in one another, that it's never built around a man or a gift or a couple or a team, but just continue to multiply, where everyone feels they can really play a part in shaping who we become. A heart for the poor. A heart for the poor. Every time I go back to Clarence now, Dihlabeng, one of the things that warms my heart is people who would never look me in the eye, people who would never see themselves as an equal partner in the gospel, now call me Steve, look me in the eye, hug, and play their part in an expression of Jesus across the nations. As I've said, for us to become an apostolic people group is so key to me. And then, as we've seen growing in this beautiful word earlier, Nikki, thank you so much, the glorious church. Not those who have the funds and the resources, but every single community, whether it's 5 or 10 or 50 or 500, believing, helping one another, that every church would prosper and be an expression of Jesus in their neighborhood. We long to see it, where the world will stand in awe and look at the church and say, Jesus is alive, because they see the way that we relate to one another. And then a statement you've heard us repeat many times, which comes from Philippians 2, there for one another's success. This world doesn't know that. You only have to watch the news if you've had a chance and you had TV in your tent. And all the bickering that's going on in our nation at the moment here in the UK. But a people who truly are there for the person sitting next to you on your left or right. Just give them a nudge quickly. We're there for one another's success. Husbands for wives and vice versa. Dads for sons and daughters. Where we can really help one another come through. I believe if we can lay hold of these things, we can change the world. And so God, in a very short time, has taken us across 5 continents in regions beyond, into the islands of the Philippines. We've got a beautiful couple, Kim and Smile. When you meet her, you'll know why her name is Smile. Small works in other islands like Mauritius, into India. I don't know how many churches we've got now, 18, 20, growing. Africa, Central Africa, East Africa, South Africa, Lesotho. The USA, a growing work. It's been so wonderful to watch Trevor and Rachel serve there. It was so lovely to send them there with such confidence, because we are growing in likeness in our values. And if you want to know what we, who we like, if you want to know our values, we'll send you people, because we carry it deep within. Then we are down in South America as well. Continental Europe, and I was saying to Jan earlier, Jan and Annika, won't you stand quickly? You'll see Jan quite easily. Annika, you might need to wave a little. Wonderful, eh? Just so great to have you from Utrecht in Holland, and I had a great time there earlier this year, I think it was. Yes, it was. Just such a joy to see what they're doing, and since then, had such a heart to plant churches in continental Europe and also across this nation. Pakistan, it was so lovely to pray for some families here who come from Lahore. They're among us this evening. And we've just not only been able to put a contribution to the land, we bought the land today. It's extraordinary to see what God's done. And I look back and I say, God, thank you we believed you all those years ago. Thank you we believed you even when we had £10 in our hand and we celebrated and said, well, this is a start. Let's go change the world. And tonight I want to take you to Scripture. I want to take you to the book of Joshua. It's a book I believe every leader particularly should read at the start of the year, because we find in this young man growing up under a secure relationship with a father who mentored him, invested in him, involved him, we find this great giant being born. And I want to take you to Joshua chapter 1. But thank you so much, just in case I don't get a time later, just for the way you have responded to this message and to who we are becoming. I started on Saturday night saying to you that I'm carrying, believing, living that we're in a time where 7 years will be 7 months and 7 months, 7 weeks. You'll remember that prophecy, and I'm sure it's caught your heart because I keep hearing people mention it. We are witnessing it here. I came with very high expectations. I truly believed because God had shown me he would do something wonderful in our midst. But I'm embarrassed to say it was only a portion of what we've achieved. What we've achieved in just the short time, and our conference has even been shorter, which I've got to get used to British weather. But it's just another sign. God is with us. What normally would take, come on, people, we can do this, is not necessary. It's as if God has captured our hearts and taking us forward. And I believe that if we walk, we continue to believe. If we walk in humility and faith, we have become and we have started the most wonderful journey together. I can taste it. I've seen this happen before. I remember both in Dichlebang, a time that came when we became a people. I remember during worship one day shouting at God, saying, God, hear this. Hear what's happening. As if he hadn't heard. Because the church had suddenly had learned to worship. They'd learned, they'd been unlocked to worship the King. And that's why we plant churches, isn't it? The same happened in Dubai one evening with Craig, and it's been so lovely to have my friend here over these days, as well as the others from Dubai. But singing, be lifted up. And suddenly, I could just feel the surge of worship. I said, Lord, they've got it. Here we go again. And then again, this time, to feel what's happening. So thank you very, very much. And may I add my voice to thanking those who've served us. Mike, those Skype calls where I didn't serve you very well, but you pushed me to believe God and to push on. Thank you very much. Here's your reward. Thank you so much. My message tonight, entitled, There Remains Much Land to Possess. There remains much land to possess. Joshua chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. In other words, it's a new season. It's a new time. Now therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised Moses. I have given. I have given. It's taken by God for us. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. And as we heard tonight, be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. One of the instructions God has given me in coming over to England, and I say this very humbly because I know that it's not about me, but about working together, is that God said to you, I want you to go and cause these people to inherit the promises. This has been very dear to me. And then it goes down, we know he encourages Joshua, and then verse 10, and I've got to try and read this as seriously as I can after today's events. And Joshua commanded the officers of the people, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, prepare your provisions, for within 3 hours you are to pass over the Jordan and go in to take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess. I was busy preparing this afternoon because this message was in my heart for tomorrow morning. And I was laughing. Heather said, what are you laughing at? I said, just listen to this. Pass through the midst of the camp, through the tents, and tell them to pack up and get ready. knowing at the time that you, those of you in this campsite, well done to you. We're busy packing up and making ready. I don't know if it's just God's wonderful sense of humor. Sometimes you think, you know, Lord, this is just unbelievable that you would do something like this. But I wonder, brothers and sisters, if God is not putting something in us tonight through this practical application of this message, where he's saying to us, I want to show you something. I don't know. I'm not going to prophesy it. But I do feel that as Joshua and the people look back there, they would have remembered that day, the anticipation, all these promises, all the wondering, the people we lost, Moses is gone. But you remember the day we packed up and crossed over. Here we are, brothers and sisters, tonight. Cars are packed. It was quite strange coming over to the campsite. I thought everybody had gone. Do you remember when God sent us packing? Wow, I wonder if we're enacting the crossing over tonight. For Joshua and the people of God, the time had come. In 3 days, they were to cross over. The anticipation, they would have been burning with this, but they would have also been maybe a little bit of nervous tummies as they realized that as they go over, Jericho stood before them, and they were about to test the promises that God had put in them over that time. The anticipation must have been tangible. Go, get ready. People gathering up all their possessions. And I hope that you can feel the energy among us. One of the things that make a church community great is encouragement. Encouragement and celebration of what God's doing. And if we can do that in our churches, if we can be an encouragement to one another all the time, I believe we can do great things. And you can feel it here. I want to thank you for your encouragement. It's deeply humbling at times. Thank you for all the thanks for Heather and I coming to England. I thought we were invading, but it sounds like the doors have been thrown wide open. But they knew they needed to be strong. They needed encouragement. They needed to be courageous. Why? Because as Daniel so excellently taught us today, and it's come up in other messages, promises don't come without a fight. We know that. Just bring up children. Praying for your children as youngsters, and then as they grow up and you realize all the pressures on them and you're fighting for them. Lord, you promised over this one that this would happen. They don't come without a fight. And no sooner have they received this call to pack up and get ready, we turn to chapter 3 and we see that Joshua rose early in the morning as they set out from Shittim, the place where they were, and they came to the Jordan, he and all the people of Israel. And it's the one thing I've felt over these days is that lovely little word, all. It's been wonderful. It's been wonderful. All. That's what God's looking for. And then he gives them instructions to go ahead. And verse 14 of chapter 3, so when the people set out from their tents to pass over the Jordan with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as soon as those bearing the Ark had come as far as the Jordan and the feet of the priests bearing the Ark were dipped in the brink of the water, and then he explains, now at that time of the year, the Jordan's in flood, just to make sure we understand the enormity of what was happening. The waters coming down from above stood and rose up in a heap very far away at Adam. The people crossed over on dry land. Why? Because that great God we heard about from Daniel this morning had spoken over his people. And he had said, I will build my church. I will never leave you or forsake you. And so they followed. And every step was just this manifestation of the faithfulness and goodness of God. And haven't we seen it in our midst today? And so they cross. They're in. Battles to fight. And so they start Jericho. And then all the lessons of Ai. And if you read through this passage, you just see it's constant. It's forward. Get before God. But one of the things you'll notice about Joshua, every step he establishes a place of worship. An altar is built. Get before God. This is all about you. What a story. What an amazing story. Such heroics, such pioneers. And we look at it and we get inspired and we realize, brothers and sisters, we are doing the same again. We are going in. I remember Heather with our little boys. She took them to the supermarket and she said to them, sit still, I'm going in. And Cameron said,
Roger that, she's going in. We're going in.
As you go back, we're going to take ground. Maybe you've been isolated in the past. Maybe you're leading a work where momentum's not been easy. Well, go back believing God. When we moved to Dubai, I didn't know very many people. I'm so grateful that now we know hundreds. I heard Pete's laugh somewhere over the side of the hall, I think. There he is. And Liz, thank you so much, you guys. But I can remember standing, we were given this hotel apartment to live in for the first month or so. And I stood there and I said to God, I'm not sure I'm the right person for this. I've got to go preach. I don't know these people. You've given me this great vision for this city. Who am I to come and tell them what to do? And God spoke those beautiful words. He spoke over Paul. In this city, I have many people. And so it became a weekly practice that when I got up on a Friday morning in Dubai when we hold church, I would call to the north, I would call to the south, the east and the west, and I would call in the people belonging to Gateway Church. We walk by faith. We live by faith. And I'd go and I'd say, Lord, where are the people? And suddenly we'd have 11 new people visiting. They'd give me a little card with all the numbers, and I'd never seen that before coming from Africa. It just seemed to happen there, you know. We gathered. But now I've got this list. There were so many adults, children, and 11 new people. I'd say, Lord, were they from the north, the south, the east, the west? And the next week, the same again. And Pete will tell you, if you ask him, sometimes we looked at each other and said, there are 27 new people here. And I remember I had this little broom cupboard of an office in this place. It was where you stored all the stuff. And I used that as an office. And I stand and said, Lord, bring them in. And from that direction, if we're going to build church, it's got to be by faith. Call the people in. And so we see battle after battle, story, Jericho. Wow, it's just amazing. But then I want to take you to Joshua chapter 8. And I want to just draw the curtain back a little bit, just for a moment. I want to camp here. Not going to pitch tents though. And I want to just take you through some scriptures, which will hopefully give you a better understanding of who we are. What time did I start? Sorry, I must ask tonight. Thank you. We want to be quite prompt tonight because I know some of you are driving home. So I'm going to do my best. I was preparing, carrying the promises of God, the call of God for a worldwide movement of churches that would be a true apostolic people group. And I said to the Lord, what does it look like? Show me. I don't want this just to be based on another bestseller that's come out or somebody else's anointing or technique you've given them. I want you to speak to me. And while I was working through Joshua, I came to Joshua chapter 8 and verse 30. At the time Joshua built an altar, there we go again, establishes a place of worship to the Lord, the God of Israel, on Mount Ebal. Just as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded the people of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses. And then it quotes, an altar of uncut stones upon which no man has wielded an iron tool. And they offered on it burnt offerings to the Lord and sacrificial peace offerings. And as I was studying this book, this wonderful book of Joshua, God said to me, that's what I wanted to look like. On our beautiful farm that we have in Southern Africa that many of you have gone to, there is an early pioneer's house. And if you remember some of the DVDs for Fusion where I tried my hardest to get everyone here, I don't know if I needed to do that now, but I took you into that house. It was built in the 1874 or so by some of the early pioneers in that central part of Southern Africa as borders were being established, rightly or wrongly. And they brought out stonemasons, and out of the natural stone of the area, they cut these stones. And it's hard to believe that these stones were not cut by the most sophisticated machinery. Because you couldn't get a piece of paper between these massive, some of them are as wide as I stand now, it's long, like this, sandstone. Absolutely perfect, beveled edges, beautiful building, beautiful building. We love that place. And you see what they've produced. But as I'm reading this, I'm seeing the picture of that old settler's home, those pioneers' home. And God said to me, I want it to look different. This mustn't be a work of man. This must be a work of my spirit. I want this altar built out of stones that have been shaped by the wind and the fire, by the water, the rain. And as I began to meditate on this, I saw this altar being built where these stones were collected. And up on our mountainside, we have stones like that, that have been shaped by the weather over centuries. And they're all beautifully shaped. And you can pick them up and I could see it. This altar, you've got to go collect those stones and build it. Each one will have its own shape. Each one will look different. Not looking for uniformity. I'm not looking for one size fits all. Not looking for a list of rules and say, if you're a Regions Beyond Church, please tick off these 23 things and sign this document and then you're part of us. What God wants to do, he wants to raise up a people where he's put his spirit in them. He's given them gifting and passion and dreams. And as we bring them and they lie together and they fit together and they hold each other up. One cannot be an altar, but together, linked, overlaying, you take one away and the whole thing wobbles. And God said to me, build that. And when you see that, it makes it easy for us to be able to be welcoming, where churches don't need to jump through a million hoops to participate with us, but share common values and doctrine. We want that. We don't want to be foolish, but we want to be embracing for the good of the gospel. Acceptance of one another, appreciation of one another, leaning heavily on one another. No place for individualism. No place for it. But where we feel the one next to us. I can't do this without you there. I'm not going to manage if you're not there. Come walk with me. Come help me. Speak to me. And brothers and sisters, this altar was built and these sacrifices went up to the Lord. And as we read, we go into chapter 9, 10, 11, 12. We read more campaigns, more battles, more cities. Some quite horrific stuff, actually. And sometimes, sadly, church planting is tough. It is really tough. and many of us will know. But then we come to chapter 13, and this is where I'm going to just go through a few things, and I want to talk to you about the way we're going to go forward in the UK. Chapter 13 starts like this. Now Joshua was old and advanced in years, and the Lord said to him. When I first read that and I got that, the Lord said to him, if you just didn't have that next section in there, it's time to settle. It's time to put your feet up. You've done so well. You fought so many campaigns. It's time to rest a while. It's time to sit back. You've restored the church. You've brought it to a place that's so much better than years ago. As Ray reminded us. But that's not what it says. I love God's honesty here. You are old and advanced in years. Amen, some. And there remains yet very much land to possess. Brothers and sisters, for many of you, you've been at this campaigning for years. And in our hearts at times, as Mark said earlier on, maybe we should sit back and let some of the younger guys go. But as I said last night, when I watch Ray and others, and he is very old and advanced in years. Still beats me at golf, which is so frustrating. But when I watch that passion and that heart, Sue, keep willing to go. They said, after Fusion, would you help shape where you want us and that? And I know the things that Ray will carry. There remains much land to possess. And Joshua, before the Lord, was thinking, you are now old. Yes, Lord. Just look at the scars. You know, oof, this has been tiring. Yes, but there's more land to possess. Seriously? No break? No settling? Johnny Wheeler? That's our private joke. For us, brothers and sisters, this is the beginning of a journey. This is the beginning. There remain lands to take. There's some things I'd love to tell you, but this is going to go live. So just some news that broke today. It's just extraordinary. Maybe at the end I'll share it with you. We can pray. I heard just before I left Dubai that the possibility, the reality of a church plant into Malaysia with Kangwi and Doreen is now on the radar. It's just extraordinary. We battled there. I went back and forward to Malaysia. I love going to Malaysia. Except this funny fish thing they cook. Are there any Malaysians here? But it looks like it's opening. Lands to possess. And God is saying, get ready. Get ready. There's much more work. And it raises the question, okay, how do we go forward? Because not only is it far off lands, it's lands on our doorstep. And I want you to know that both Heather and I feel the privilege of being in this nation. We feel the privilege of being here. Many years ago, as a young believer, I read that scripture from Joshua 1. Everywhere your feet will tread, I will give to you. Now, I don't know why I believed it. I believed it. So I go to Malaysia and I walk there with Kangwi and Doreen and all the people that we've taken. And I think, God, give us this. And then it doesn't work out, but God knows. And now suddenly it looks like it's happening. But when we came here, I think, Lord, give us a love for this land. Give us a love that we can see this land blessed by the gospel, transformed by spirit-filled churches. So brothers and sisters here in the UK, among our UK churches, let me answer the question now, how does it look going forward? And over the last 2 weeks, I've met with various leaders, and then we were all together for the day, and so I hope they've started to slowly lay things before you. But this evening, I want to quickly put 7 things before you, and I'm going to have to go very, very quickly, because I believe these are the things that God wants to encourage us with. The first one is, I believe God is looking for a season where he wants wells to become springs. He wants churches that have been resource bases where we've had to go, where you as leaders have had to go and draw out in order to get things done. What I believe we've seen tonight through this giving is a spring. If I had come with my bucket for the offering, I'm afraid it would have been very small in terms of expectation. If I'd come to you and said last night, please, we trust in God for this amount, it would have been very small because of being new here with you. But already today, God has just shown us, hey, pressed down, shaken together, overflowing. I've got big plans here. Let me resource you. Let me resource you for it. And I want to say to all of you who lead churches, take that word, pray over your church, start teaching your church the difference between springs and wells. Don't say it was a word for the conference. It's a word for us. And if you will believe it and teach in, I believe you'll see among your people a natural, a supernatural flow of the Spirit of God. Secondly, I believe that prayer must become the vehicle for us going forward. I want to encourage you that this must be a season of prayer. Have a look how you do prayer, when you do prayer, what you pray, and start praying like never before. Because over these months, this word revival just doesn't go away. It just doesn't go away. Let's pray like never before. Number 3, strategically, we want to establish and recognize hub churches. When the pioneers came and marked out the piece of land, which is now the property Heather and I so wonderfully own in the mountains of the Free State of South Africa, they would arrive in a wagon drawn by oxen. And when they'd put the boundary markers in, it was tradition to remove the wheels and set them in the gateposts. And so when you arrive in our farm and you come in the gates, you'll see these lovely stone gates, and there the wheels are from the 1800s in the gates. And those beautiful old ox wagon wheels have this hub in the middle. And they're still such good quality, it's hard to believe. They look as good as they were then, not retreads. And so we want to see across the UK numerous hubs established, because when you look at the wheel, you see in the center this big hub and all these spokes that gather to it, and it holds them together. And I believe that if we're going to have exponential growth, if we're going to keep planting, it can't be around one or two people trying to meet all the various needs in many churches, but that we establish these hubs where we recognize gifts around the country who can look after an area or relationships and gather and build. So a hub seems to be a New Testament reality. And it's an expression of our desire for multiplied leadership. So it's not all going to happen because Steve and Ray are now together in the UK or now got this one or that one. We want to see multiplied leadership. We want to give that egg wings to fly. Antioch, Ephesus, Thessalonica, they were emerging as centers for gospel advance. And so a hub church is going to be a regions beyond church that gathers others, and together they fulfill this calling we've got to multiply and reach the nation. They'll gather around leadership. And what we have said is that we're not going to work geographically We want to work relationally. So I'm going to share with you in a moment the churches that we've recognized for this early season, the starting point. And we're saying to all the churches across regions beyond, please link into one of these hubs because you're going to help one another. What will they do? They will build relationships, the leaders, but also among the churches. They will plant churches. If I was in Africa, everybody would be cheering by now. These clusters, these hubs, will multiply and plant churches. Amen. And next time we gather, 2018, whether it's here or wherever, I'm going to leave to those who know these things. But let's hope we just see the hall filled of new believers because we planted churches, new disciples. These hubs are going to work together to strengthen the churches. When I arrived at Beulah 2 weeks ago, I think it was, I went to say hello to as many people. We had just arrived our first Sunday, lots of people to get to know. And I went to some of the band and I was saying to him, thank you so much. And I'm Steve and I've come, you know, here I am. And they said, hello, my name's so-and-so. I'm actually from Jubilee Church in Croydon. I said, what are you doing here? No, we've come to help serve today. Oh, that's my dream. That churches that have resources, churches that have the people, the people gifts, can look to others that are just starting off or others that just need a few more leaders or a few more people and say, hey, we're with you. We're going to partner with you. Because it's not for our success yet that we'd keep growing, but it's for our success. So we'll strengthen one another. We will pray together. We will train together and equip together. There will be ministry collaboration. So where you've got something really working well in one church, you can say, hey, we can come and help you start it there as well. Pastoral support. And then the release and recognition of Ephesians 4 gifts. That's where we're heading. That is where we're heading. So we want to see these hubs established across the country. And my hope is, even though we're going to start with 3, that very shortly we'll be 5 and then 7 as we begin to multiply. As I said, they will gather to leadership. And so I've approached 3 of our senior leaders to say, would you be a father? Would you be a gatherer for a group of churches? But the ultimate aim is to see Ephesians 4 gifts released, particularly apostolic gifts, so that we take this further. But also all the other gifts. And so tonight we're going to recognize those 3. It takes time to recognize apostolic gifts. Apostolic gifts is not something that we appoint someone to. I'd love to do a teaching on that. Tonight doesn't allow. But it's recognized. You see it in a person. It's a fruit. It's by the fruit of the tree that you know what it is. And so there's some marks of the apostolic gift as they are. If you say, this person's a prophet. So I've never heard them prophesy. Well, then they can't be a prophet. If they're bringing prophecy and sound, and it's, you think, wow. They're a prophet. It's the same with the apostolic gift. They will open up new areas. They'll give birth to people. They'll refute incorrect doctrine. All these things which we will teach as we go along. But so in the meantime, we've asked 3 experienced leaders and say, would you be a hub leader? Would you gather people and make sure they succeed for us? So the likes of myself and Ray and others, instead of trying to crisscross the country, we can work into the hub and be able to talk to the whole group of churches together. And it means we can multiply faster. Our main aim, though, is to ensure that we have exponential growth through church planting and the raising of leaders. Number 4, in this process, we want to have times of corporate prayer and feasting. In my original notes, I want you to know, it was prayer and fasting. And when I took it to the leaders, they said, I think you spelt that wrong, Steve, your spelling. I've only been to prayer and fasting in England once in the previous movement, and I couldn't get a table at the moto, what is it called, the stop on the way there, because everyone was feasting so much, because they had an afternoon ahead where there wouldn't be much food. I'm teasing. But we do. We want times where we can gather. Maybe all the churches of a hub together. Maybe something national. We'll give you details. We've still got to work out those finer points. I'm still getting the rhythms of your nation. But we want to get together and say, God, we believe in you for this. We want to hear news, pray for people, release people together. And we'll talk to you about that. Fifthly, we have a task team at the moment, including Daniel, who was so magnificent this morning, Daniel. Woo! Thank you. He is one of many God is entrusting to us. And one of many. But we've got a task team working and beginning to look at our theology, making sure that we're all on the same page, but also looking at training and how we're going to raise up leaders and equip them. And so we'll talk to you more about that as the detail comes. Number six, part of our strategy is Fusion 2018. You can't wait, can you? I've loved this week. Absolutely loved it. Thank you so much. For a one-off first time, it's beyond words. I don't know how I would ever describe what I've experienced personally over these days. But I believe for us to continue in oneness and for us to touch so many and meet so many people, we do need to gather together. But I think as we've all realized, doing something like this is a massive task. Financially, it's a massive commitment. And so we've been working hard to try and understand our rhythms as a movement. When do we do what? Because now as we touch five continents, there are five fusions, different names around. In Philippines, they call it Accelerate. I think it's a great name, Accelerate. In South Africa, Master Builders, something we gave birth to 13 years ago. Coming up in America, and if any of you would like to come with some of us, we've got the summit in Montana. You could come and see Trevor line dance. I tell you what, he is hot. They're not convinced, Trevs. The demonstration will be at the end, after prayer and fasting. But come and join us. But we're looking forward to once again gather this growing family, many more. Somebody said to me, I was walking with, I forget who it was, forgive me, I'm trying to remember as many names as possible. Maybe Mimi, in fact, if I remember correctly. And she said to me, can't wait next time, is that right? Yeah. And she said, I can't wait for next time to see how many new converts there are when Fusion happens again. I thought, she was listening. Wow, isn't that great? And number seven, and finally, every second year, we will gather all our leaders and anybody else who wants to come to the Hub Conference in Dubai. And that will happen in 2017, November. If you want the dates, it's the 13th to the 18th of November next year. This is our strategy going forward. We've got a lot of things to fill in, but those are the broad brushstrokes of where we're going. And so tonight, I would like to have the privilege of announcing to you the three hubs that I've asked to be established here in the UK. The first one, and we're going to do it because they were so brilliant this morning, is around Alan and Sandra Bell and the team up north in Durham. And Alan and Sandra, where are you? Where's Sandra? Don't tell me she's on the door, is she? Okay, won't you come up here? She's working. Would somebody take that door? Thank you. Come on, give them a big northern cheer, southern cheer. You can actually just come and sit on. I don't want you to stand there like a melon. Yeah. One of the joys for me in linking up with Ray a few years ago were the many friends he introduced me to. And he said to me, at some stage, I want you to go to Durham with me. I want you to meet a very special couple. He might drive you mad at times, but I think you're going to love him. And he's made me laugh more than most. But not only will we have a hub up north, and already, just to say to you, there are some other churches who are making the journey into regions beyond in that area. And I'll be seeing them the week after next. They're not with us here. But then also, the wonderful work that's been happening through Bromley under Trevor and Rachel's leadership. And we want to recognize that as another hub. So won't you come, Trevor? You can do your moves if you like, Rachel. And then very lastly, right on my new doorstep, place I now call home, it's lovely also as we've asked Paul and Ruth around Jubilee to set up a hub in Croydon. So come on, come up here. I did ask him to wear long pants tonight for the occasion. And his reply is, what's that? But not only do we want to see these, and remember, this is the starting point. This is the starting point. Please, please remember that. But we hope very shortly, in places like Gloucester and Penge, in possibly Biggin Hill and Worthing, to see other hubs established. But we felt that through these three, and because of the gifts that there are, we can model what we are looking for across the nation. And so as we go forward, we will look to that. Brothers and sisters, we've crossed over. Our tents are packed. I mean, isn't it amazing? I'm trying to be serious about that. I think I'm going to laugh about that all night. Our tents are packed. We're crossing over. There will be some battles along the way. We'll have to be there for one another. It's Joshua, the tribes that stayed behind. He said, no, you can't stay. You've got to come with us. That is your land, but come and help us. We've got to do that for one another. Intentional relationships. We've got to help one another. Young people who wasn't young, with all the ages that came up in response to that word about want to give ourselves to a new adventure, leadership, church planting. We've got their names. We want to get behind them and create opportunities for them. And so here we set our course tonight, regions beyond here in the UK. We are part of the body of Christ. Next to us are others that don't have the one talent we've got. They've got five or maybe more. We must realize that. We are just one small part of it. But our responsibility now is to be faithful with what's been entrusted to us, to what's been handed over to us, that we can go forth and prosper, make a profit for the gospel. And I want to thank you. I don't need to ask for your commitment. You've already shown that. And so as we close tonight, I'm going to ask these couples to come and just stand, if you could just spread out around the front here. And church leaders, I want to ask you, with your eldership, because we appreciate and acknowledge and recognize the authority of the local elders to make the decisions. It's not made from some head office or some apostolic gift. We submit to you when we come. But if you together before God could say, where do we belong? And maybe in the short term, it'll mean traveling. Well, we've been practicing that over the last few days. We crossed the country, some of you, in order to be here. So what's an hour or so, or two or three, on a train to go and join together? I'm going to ask you, please give yourselves, pray about it, and say to one of these dear people, dear men, say, I'm coming to join you. We're with you. And we're going to build this kingdom. We're going to see the kingdom come. And we're going to celebrate next time we come together. And as they stand before you this evening, I want to just speak over those of you who would see yourselves and forgive these words, but I can't be PC because I've got to read the Bible. You who are old and advanced in years, there remains much more for us to do together. I don't know how to call you out, so I'm going to leave it to you. But I just wonder, those who've pioneered before me and before my generation, I wonder if you would come out this evening. Because this is one of the graces that God's given us here in the UK. His fathers and mothers. And we need you. There is much more to do. You have much to teach us. And so I wonder if we could just all stand.